They reached a much larger walkway, which seemed to run along the asteroid crusher's length instead of across its beam. R2-D2 turned toward the Omni's stern. The cavernous space remained empty and illuminated by silver-blue glow panels. The walkway was flanked on both sides by long runs of massive transfer tubes and the durasteel shells of sealed production vaults, all eerily silent now that operations had been stopped because of the Scraghull crash.
"Our first priority is going after Han," Luke said.
"But as much as I hate to say it,
we're in no condition to succeed,"
Leia finished.
"If we don't get some bandages and Bactisolve on these burns soon, we won't be rescuing anyone."
"Exactly," Luke agreed.
A muffled clang sounded in the distance behind them. Vistara freeing herself from the airlock, no doubt. Luke forced himself not to look back. If they were going to escape, they had to stay focused on what they were going to do, not what was happening behind them.
"And it won't do any good to steal a Bessie and take off in pursuit of the Aurel Moon," Luke continued. "We need to figure out where the Krefs were headed."
Leia frowned.
"How are we going to do that?"
"I don't know yet," Luke admitted. "It may come down to capturing Vistara. She seems to be in charge around here. I'm not sure anyone else would know where the Krefs went."
R2-D2 emitted a confident chirp, and they came to a sealed bulkhead, its emergency door still lowered against the possibility of a ship-wide decompression.
Luke pressed his ear to the metal and heard murmuring voices and whirring machinery on the far side.
He would have liked to reach out in the Force to see if he could sense any particular danger on the other side of the bulkhead, but he did not dare. He could not be certain that Vistara was the only Sith aboard the Omni, and he did not want to take the chance of drawing attention by expanding his Force presence. Instead, he tried the slap pad on the adjacent wall. When nothing happened, Leia said,
"Vistara's doing, I'll bet. She would have wanted to keep the entire area sealed until she could take a look around the crash site and see whether we survived."
"Probably," Luke agreed. "R2, can you override these locks without tripping an alarm?"
The droid replied with an indignant buzz, then inserted his interface arm into the socket beneath the control panel. A moment later, the status light changed from amber to blue, and a huge bulkhead door started to slowly slide aside. Knowing they would draw less attention by simply stepping into traffic than by standing there trying to get their bearings, Luke started across the threshold, only to find himself staring at the helmet and armored back plate of a Mandalorian guard looking in the opposite direction. The Mando was flanked on each side by scaly green walls that Luke eventually recognized as Nargons. Standing beyond the Mandalorian and his assistants were hundreds of beings. They all wore the same blue coveralls that Luke and Leia wore, and most were heavily burdened with tools and repair supplies. Several were seated at the controls of heavy equipment. As soon as the huge bulkhead door was completely retracted, a big horn-headed Deveronian grumbled,
"About time,"
and started his hover sled, and the entire mass lurched forward as one body. Luke and Leia barely had time to clear the way by pressing themselves against the walkway railing, and even the door guards had little choice except to move aside. The Mandalorian, of course, chose to join the Nargon standing on Luke and Leia's side of the walkway.
"What happened to you two?"
he demanded, staring at Leia's burned face.
"Let me see your identification badges."
Clearly, Vistara had not yet alerted the security teams to watch for them. Whether that was because she did not realize how close behind she was, or simply wanted to avoid tipping her hand, Luke could not say. He knew only that their best chance of escape lay in getting away from the crash site as quickly as possible. He reached into his pocket as though to extract his identity badge, but brought his hand out empty and waved it in front of the Mandalorian.
"There is no need to see our identification," he said. "We lost it when we were injured. We're on our way to the infirmary."
The Mandalorian's visor remained fixed on Luke's face, and Luke began to wonder if his Force suggestion was going to work. But finally, the guard nodded.
"There is no need to see your identification."
He turned toward the crowd, then extended a hand down the rail and ordered,
"Make way! These people were injured in the explosion. They're on their way to the infirmary."
The crowd quickly began to move away from the rail, but the Nargon stepped into Luke's path, then cocked his crested head and studied his Mandalorian officer out of a huge slit-pupiled eye.
"No badges?"
he asked.
"There's no need to see their identification,"
the Mandalorian repeated, still under the influence of Luke's Force suggestion. He motioned the Nargon away from the safety rail.
"Stand aside. They're on their way to the infirmary,"